ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife. News Breakdown.
Well, welcome to Nightlife News Breakdown. Let's start with this.
They're a mess. That's the truth. Anyone can see that.
That's the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, this morning in a press conference in Cairns when he was asked if he had any advice for the Liberal Party. Now, the saga continues on what was a poignant day for the wider Liberal Party. In Melbourne, senior party members were gathering for the funeral of widely respected former Liberal MP Katie Allen. A number of party members, though, had taken the opportunity to meet the morning before the funeral in a private closed-door meeting. Although how private was it when the news of where it was leaked to the media, and so the media turned up in droves? Potential challengers Andrew Hastie and Angus Taylor were the key parties. Mr Hastie arrived to the meeting with Shadow Home Affairs Minister John O'Dunham. Mr Dunham, of course, is a key member of Susan Lee's front bench and supposedly a supporter. Mr Taylor arrived alone. It's ahead of what was an anticipated leadership challenge against the opposition leader Susan Lee. The Prime Minister voiced his thoughts on the actions of the Liberal Party members.
I find it astonishing that there are meetings taking place about the leadership of the Liberal Party on a day such as today.
Well, trying to douse the flames of speculation, the Liberal Senator for Victoria, Jane Hume, not on the front bench at the moment, had this to say on Sky News this morning.
There is no doubt that Susan is the leader and she has the support of the party room. I know that there's a lot of speculation today, of course, when politicians get together outside of Canberra, that inevitably happens. But today is a day that so many colleagues are coming to pay tribute to our good friend and colleague, Katie Allen.
Well, Quentin Dempster is an award-winning journalist and author and former host of Stateline, of course, and a regular contributor here over the years on Nightlife too. Quentin, good evening to you. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Hi, Phil.
You would have seen this many times in your political observing life, I'm sure, but when you're trying to have a secret meeting to arrange a challenger and yet someone who knows about the meeting leaks this... the news to the media, tells them the location so that they can turn up with pictures, even though nobody at the meeting seems to have any idea who's going to be the challenger and there's no result, and they all then leave the house and go to a funeral. Gee whiz. Somebody, if there's a party organiser, someone needs to get the sack, don't they?
That's true, but it's vicious in that sense. Susan Lay is... working hard to try to shore herself up, and whoever got that information out to the media, it's going to be a cluster, very negative media publicity tomorrow, and when the public absorbs it. It was apparently Michael Sukkar, who's from the right faction, was a coordinated or MC'd or chaired the meeting of this Melbourne home, and they all seem to be torn in a conflict of disloyalty. You can't decide, as you say, between Angus or Andrew Hastie, who can be a combined right candidate to try to knock off Susan Lee. So, Phil, it doesn't look like there's going to be a challenge and next week. But that will play out. But my view is that as soon as when these leadership things are on, as soon as you got the numbers, you move. And if Hastie has got 26, if Hastie gets 26 numbers, or Taylor gets a definite 26 numbers out of that 51 member party room, they'll move and she'll be dispensed with. It's vicious, but there it is.
Well, yeah, exactly. Do you think is Hastie up for it? He's seen as the kind of coming new generational Lib candidate, isn't he? Angus Taylor is older. People have seen a lot of him, and a lot of people were not that impressed by his performance in the last election campaign when he was shadow treasurer. Andrew Hastie's not so much tainted by any of that. And Mr. Hastie's supporters clearly hope that he'll throw in the towel, but it doesn't look as though Mr. Taylor's prepared to do that. But maybe, as you say, he will when he realises he doesn't have the numbers.
Well, at the moment, this meeting this morning, Phil, was about trying to decide who should lead. So there's a combined right vote against the so-called moderates within the Parliamentary Liberal Party. They can't decide, so there's no one single candidate, even though they've had the gratuitous advice of the former Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, wanting them to coalesce.
Apparently he's been on a cruise. he was on a cruise.
Why not? But the other thing we should discuss, mate, is what is causing this ruction, because I think what is important for the public to understand, I think many do, is that the recent polls, now confirmed by News Poll, have shown that there's a resurgence in support for One Nation, Pauline Hanson's One Nation. There are a lot of polls, but a lot of the pollies and the apparatchiks look at News Poll, and News Poll has got One Nation at 22 ahead of the Liberal Party. And don't forget, Barnaby Joyce had defected to One Nation in December. Pauline Hanson is being bankrolled by Gina, and Advance, and there's what seems to me from the available intel is that there's a sort of a Farageous movement, a Nigel Farageous movement, which is backed by some big money, particularly in a world now of social media distribution of information.
Here's a question, though. Is this more of an existential threat for the Nationals and David Littleproud's leadership? Well, putting him aside for one moment, the Nationals stand more to lose this, don't they? I mean, particularly in Queensland, in any three-cornered contest, if One Nation is actually translating that poll figure into a voting at the booth figure, the National Party do stand a reasonable prospect of just vanishing, don't they?
Not vanishing so much. It'll be incremental, Phil, but you look at in the 90s, what Pauline Hanson did when she disrupted the LNP in Queensland and won a lot of seats in that parliament.
That's right.
What happened here is, let me just take you through these. This is from intel produced by the Press Gallery journalists. If you look at Anthony Green, the great cephologist, says, if One Nation is polling 22% in national polls, there are electorates across rural and regional areas where One Nation will be polling above 35%, that is, leading on primary votes. And the political journos have done this analysis. What seats in Queensland, which would be subject to, vulnerable to One Nation primary vote attack, would be Capricornia, Flynn, Wright, Hinkler, Wide Bay, Groom, Dawson, Ford, Longman and Maranoa, that's in Queensland, Forrest and Canning in WA, Lynn, Parks, Riverina and Clare in New South Wales. That's 16 seats. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win all those seats.
No.
But there would be very great contests for that, and the National Party, which has been holding together quite well, not losing any seats, they've lost a couple of defectors, not losing any seats in the May 2025 election, could be vulnerable to have serious diminishment of their numbers in the House of Reps. And don't forget, Phil, it's the next election not till 2028, so it's a long time. A lot can happen.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the One Nation's never really translated its polling support, except in Queensland, as you say, where there's a unicameral parliament and there's no upper and lower houses. But they've never translated that into a support in the lower house. And realistically, you'd think that they'd be hoping for support in the Senate, in federal parliament, to, I don't know, maybe put themselves in a position where they have a balance of power situation on some reading in the Senate.
That's
quite, actually, on those poll figures, that is quite feasible, isn't it?
That's right. You look at their Senate representation, and if there is a swing in 2028, I'm not saying there will be. But if there is a swing, there's the Senate. They will stand if they're well funded, which is what I think is happening now. If they're in a Nigel Farageist attack on Australia, attack on Australia, which means they're going to go for broke on various issues which polarise the electorate, they could do very well. They stand in every rep seat and amount big Senate tickets. I don't know what Clive Palmer's going to do in this coming election. Again, it's too early to say.
Yes, Gina might have looked at Clive's campaign with some interest, I imagine, and have concluded that you can't spend your way into Parliament. Not directly, anyway. Certainly Clive.
Well, you can influence. I mean, we know all about influence peddling through corporate donations and union donations of the Labor Party and all that. But it there's after Trump in the US, big money comes in, and big money can really move the polity if you're in front of people, in particularly in social media, the digital distribution, which has changed the nature of politics.
Mm. Yes, but I mean, as more than one observer has said, there's a whole lot going on in the world, and you know, there's the interest rate decision coming up from the Reserve Bank, unwelcome news on inflation. There are troubles over hospital funding. China's threatening Australia over the port of Darwin. There's the eruptions in America. Decline of the US dollar. There's a whole lot of things to be talking about if you're an opposition leader.
Events, dear boy. Events, dear boy.
Exactly. Events. All these things are happening, and yet there's no coalition. The opposition parties are talking about should be leader.
You'd think they'd cut Susan Lee some slack, because if the Reserve Bank increases interest rates next Tuesday, as all the banks are predicting, that's a big kick in the teeth for Albanese and Jim Chalmers.
It is, it is.
And let alone all the poor mortgage payers who had a little bit of relief over the last 2 years. And usually, if it's all economics, the public support and anger at the government, it's on their watch and all that. There are all sorts of excuses flowing around. But if the economic impact of that to the mortgage payers and the cost of living, which is still the biggest domestic issue in Australia, why wouldn't they leave Susan Leigh to benefit from that? Mm. I mean, they've got to win back. They want to get into government. They've got to win back those metropolitan seats, which they lost to the Teals.
On another matter, this morning on ABC Breakfast, Sally Sara had a somewhat awkward exchange with the Multicultural Affairs Minister, Anne Ali. Now, they were discussing the welcoming of Israeli President Isaac Herzog, because he's visiting Australia in February, the invitation of the government, and whether or not Minister Ali, the Multicultural Affairs Minister, would in fact welcome the Israeli President. On the third asking of the question, this was Anne Ali's reply.
He was invited for the victims of the Bondi terror attack, and that is protocol, Sally.
Well, when asked about this at a press conference in Cairns, it was the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese's turn to try and play things down.
President Herzog has been invited here by the Governor-General as head of state to head of state, but I certainly welcome him coming, and I look forward to visiting. And I note that Anne Ali has made appropriate comments as well.
Just not as perhaps as fulsome as the Prime Minister. Quentin, there's a lot of emotion tied up with the visit. And as we mentioned on the program last night, it's bound to be divisive, because there will be protests about the Israeli president's presence. Nothing like the protests you'd expect if Benjamin Netanyahu turned up in the country, but I don't imagine the current government would be keen to invite him. But like the PM says,
we'd have to, as UN signatories, we'd have to arrest Netanyahu.
Exactly.
But the yes, you're right. It's extremely sensitive. And Elba, well, when he says the Governor General takes advice from the Prime Minister. So, Her Excellency Sam Mostyn has extended the invitation to President Herzog
on
advice from the Prime Minister. So, but my concern as an observer and a political journalist is that while Herzog will be here to comfort our bereaved and grieving Jewish families from after the Bondi massacre, and that will be the key element of his visit, There will have to be some degree of formality in welcome. And I think the security implications are very severe, because what we've been living through in New South Wales still after the Bondi massacre is trying to get people to calm down and to de-escalate. Minns, the Premier in New South Wales, has been talking to the police about constraining protest marches, because... Mate, the ASIO, Mike Burgess, the Director General of ASIO, has said the terror threat in Australia remains at probable. Mm. And it's in that context, with what has happened at Bondi, that there should be real concern. I wanted to know whether Burgess has been consulted about our formal invitation to President Herzog to visit Australia under these circumstances. We'll understand why Albanese has done it to help our Jewish community to come to terms with what's happened. But with what has happened in Gaza and great contention around the world about what's called the genocidal intent of Israel towards the Palestinians, this is still a domestic security consequence of that. So I'd love to know whether Burgess agrees that we should invite Herzog to Australia.
Mm. Be very interesting to know. All right, I doubt we're going to get a straight answer to that, but thanks for your straight answers, Quentin. It's always been terrific to always terrific to talk, pleasure to have you. Thanks for that.
All the best, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.